The phone number is 371-5200. We have a call. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment for the show that's on now.
Uh-huh. Well, you're on the air right now.
Oh, I see. Thank you. You know, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God also. But I have to say one thing concerning the woman who called in before. She made a point of emphasizing that the Bible says a woman is to submit to a man. But I think a lot of older people misuse the Bible because Christ emphasizes also in another section that a man and woman are to submit themselves to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And his emphasis is on love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's kind of warping the truth to say that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good point.
He was always concerned with people loving each other as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first to forgive the woman for adultery. I mean, at that point, and that point of time, women were stoned to death for committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus pointed out the fact that the men that were standing around her or other women were just as guilty of sins also.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you called to say that.
Yeah, again, I have to say, you know...
Yeah, men, you know, there's another thing, too, is that men commit adultery, too. In fact, they commit adultery probably a whole lot more than women, and they weren't stoned to death.
Right, and Christ, I mean, you know, Christ, when you look at, besides the one section, there is one verse in the Bible where Paul says something about women submitting their husbands, I mean, women submitting themselves to their husbands. There's another line where it says to submit to each other. And Christ was not a chauvinist. No, he loved human beings and he gave his life for them.
Uh-huh. Great.
So anyway, so much for that.
Right.
But it's a liberating force and it isn't a chauvinistic doctrine.
Uh-huh. Good.
So thank you.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. The phone number is 371-5200. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say, is this Irene Yara?
Yes, hi.
I just wanted to say that I've seen several of your shows and have enjoyed them very much.
Thank you.
I have a few, well, one comment and one question.
Okay.
The first is a comment that I feel good about you not accepting calls from men. I feel that... since the media is so much a male-dominated area, that it's really important for us to secure our space. And when that changes, then I think that's a time to reconsider your position.
Uh-huh.
That's basically how I feel about it.
That's a good point.
I wondered if you had anything, whether you plan to do any programs in the future about aging, both from the point of view of people who are old and also from the point of view of people who... attitudes, rather, of younger people to being old.
I definitely do. I have in mind to do a program with the woman who edits the magazine Prime Time, which is a magazine for older women. And I'd love to... I haven't even spoken to her yet, so if she's listening, she knows I'll be calling soon. But I definitely want to. And also, a woman called in after last week's show and asked me if I could do a show on aging and all. Especially, she said... if there was any way I could do a show on the different stages that women go through, like what happens to your body when you're 30 and what happens when you're 40 and what kinds of things can we expect as we grow older. And then I also like your idea of people's attitudes towards aging and the place of older women in our society. And I definitely will.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And good luck.
Thank you very much for calling, and I'm really glad you're listening.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say something about the woman who called up about the Bible.
Okay.
And that is that the Bible has to be read with the thought in mind that when it was written, and I've done a lot of work on women's history, and the conditions of women in the ancient world are just unbelievable.
Mm.
And it's the thing that one has to remember, that if the men were to write anything else... about women not covering their head or anything like that, they wouldn't have been taken seriously.
Hmm.
So, there's one thing also that St. Paul says, something about, it doesn't matter man, woman, slave, or free, we're all one under Christ. So, I think that's the most important thing, and that you should look at the Bible as the Word of God, but you have to take it within its context.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's very antiquated. and you know, I happen to feel that the Catholic hierarchy is very oppressive towards women.
I do too.
But I still think that...
I also think that the Jewish religion
right.
is very oppressive to women. I
right.
mean, I think religion in general is oppressive to women, because I think what happens with religion is that it supports the status quo. It supports the supremacy of men, and that's, you know, I think part of the whole motivation of religion. That's why it's there.
Right, right, definitely. I also want to tell you that I love the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's just wonderful. And I especially love the thing on masturbation.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
I was also thinking, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm overweight, and I was thinking maybe you can do something on overweight women.
That's a great idea.
Because I know that I mean, I related so much to the masturbation program, and I know that I would do that too.
Oh, fine. That's a really good idea. I'll definitely do that.
Okay.
There's a new group, I think, called Overweight Anonymous, OA.
Yeah.
I will.
I'm checking something out right now. I'm going for nutrition counseling, but it's doubly difficult to be overweight and to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
Sure.
Unreal. And I know this is like a great place to share things, and I really love it. And I was ambivalent at first about, you know, taking calls from men, but I completely changed my mind with the motivation thing.
Tell me how come.
Because I felt such a feeling of solidarity when that program was on, especially when you were the readings from the books, and I was just grabbing the books off my shelf and reading along. And I just felt so great. And I do feel that since it's such a short time that men can write in, and I have a lot of men friends who are, I know I would like to contribute, but they can do that in writing.
They definitely
need
can.
This time.
Right.
They really do, and it's wonderful.
Fine. Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay,
really
bye-bye.
Glad to have heard your voice.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd just like to say that I'm 14 years old, and it doesn't matter to me whether the Bible's written by men or women, but I can, like, figure out, you know, I could say to myself, God's a man or a woman, and that's all that matters.
Uh-huh. And you mean, could you explain more what you mean?
Well...
Like you consider yourself a person?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I can figure out, like, I can say to myself, God's a woman if I want.
That's right. I do that a lot. When I sneeze, I say, God has blessed you. Are there any shows that you'd like to hear? Can you think of particularly in terms of youth or anything like that?
Well, that show that you had a couple weeks ago, I think was in the beginning of August.
What was it?
It was the one that, it was like a show from 3 years ago. We had a whole bunch of different segments.
Was it the one on masturbation?
No, it was one about women coming out.
Right, coming out of lesbians, right.
Do you think that'll be played again?
Wow, a couple of people have asked me that. Maybe what I can do is ask the station if they can put it, you know, just schedule it to be replayed, since I have a lot of requests for it. I don't think I'll play it on this space again, but it comes down to that I do maybe one lesbian show a month. It maybe not be specifically about lesbianism, but I'll have a woman on as a lesbian writer or something like that. Then there's a show... I might do a new show on coming out at some point. And also on Tuesday nights at 11 on BAI, there's a lesbian show, so if you could listen to that too.
Okay, thank you.
I'm also going to be doing a show in a couple of months with a group of high school women, young women from high school, and they're going to be talking. I'm not sure yet what they're going to be talking about, but I hope they're going to talk about how they feel about their role as women in society, maybe about their mothers, maybe about how they feel about other women, maybe how they feel about what kind of work they're going to be doing when they finish school.
Is anyone that's going to be on?
No, I don't, because I haven't got it definitely scheduled yet, but just keep listening.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, can I?
Sorry. BAI, you're on the air. Hello? That one's not coming through. Is there a call? There was a call, but it didn't come through. Okay. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, let's take a break from the calls for a minute. Let me give you the number again. It's 371-5200. And I want to play one song by Holly Near. I really do. She's a wonderful, wonderful songwriter. And she just writes so many songs that are relevant to women struggling to become their own people. And here is one. And it is called Free to Grow.
I would guess that it's a very difficult time to be a white male. I think that It's going to get better. It's just that, you see, women and racial minorities and children have been having a hard time for such a long time that it's got to get changed. So in the meanwhile, change doesn't often feel real good. But when we come through it on the other side, everybody's going to have a lot more freedom to grow.
The phone number is 371-5200. And we are taking a phone call. BAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Eileen?
Irene, yeah.
Irene. I've enjoyed your show a whole lot.
Thank you.
The second time I'm listening to it. I listened last week. I like it a lot. I'm calling in tonight, I guess, for a couple of reasons. One, because I think what you're trying to do is really, really vital.
Oh, thank you.
And I guess I just want to respond to it and be a part of what you're doing. I want to speak to what one of the women early on in the show raised and what you kind of raised, the whole thing about separatism.
Mm-hmm.
And separatism between women. Lesbians and heterosexual women and silent women and so forth. I'm very pained by the issue. It bothers me a whole lot. I'm very confused by it. And I guess mainly what I want to say is how confused I am and how mm-hmm. upset I am about it, that I'm a lesbian, but I'm not a lesbian separatist, mm-hmm. and it confuses me a whole lot. And I don't know what that means. To me, very often, if I would have to define feminism, lesbianism is really not really the central part of it.
Uh-huh.
To me, it means so much more on strength between women and among women. And in my definition of feminism, you certainly don't have to be a lesbian to be a feminist.
I agree, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, on the one hand, I feel that, and it causes me a great deal of pain when I'm with lesbian separatists who kind of let me know that they don't feel that I'm really doing anything, that at best I'm kind of really wrong-headed and very foolish and unenlightened, you know.
I think, don't you feel that it's been changing, though? I really feel that it's been changing in the last couple of years, and there are less women who are separatists, and those women who are, when they stand up and make speeches at places, don't get exactly the same kind of warm reception they used to get.
Well, they might, but see, that's when I was thinking about that just now, I was realizing that's another, there's a really big danger that maybe they are less vocal, but lesbian separatists are very, very vulnerable also.
They're very what?
Vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. Position, because it's a lot easier to say, like, I'm a lesbian, but I'm not a separatist. That although I would say that that's my position, somehow I also feel it's betraying women who would be lesbian separatists.
Mm.
You know, and that's kind of like, in some ways, I want to be able to explore my own feelings and my own strengths and grow as a woman,
right.
grow with other women. And not like really isolate a woman who would say like it's terrible to work with men, you know, it's awful, everything has to go into women,
yeah.
you know, women who are really strongly separatist. That somehow, to me, the answer isn't just to say to kind of isolate the lesbian separatists.
No, I don't think so either. I think that one of the important parts of feminism to me is that all women across the board are okay wherever they're at, and I am not where lesbian separatists are at,
mm-hmm.
and I get really angry when they oppress me because I'm not, and that happens sometimes, but when
yeah.
they're not, but they don't do that all the time, and most of the time they just go about their part of the movement and I go about
mm-hmm.
my part of the movement, and it's just like politics in general. Like, I feel personally that radicals are contributing to the change of the society, and people who are into reform politics are contributing to the change of the society. They're just doing it in different ways.
Mm.
And as far as lesbianism and feminism goes, what I feel is that the essence of being a feminist is simply that you recognize your prime commitment to yourself and to other women.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you won't deal with men, and it doesn't mean that you won't deal with women who deal with men.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that you recognize the oppression of women, and that you struggle in some way, if only just in your own life,
mm-hmm.
to get out from under.
Mm. Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure if there can be two. Like, I guess I'd feel a lot better about it if I felt, well, like lesbian separatists are just making their commitment and their contribution, and women who wouldn't define themselves as lesbian separatists are also making their contribution. I'd feel good if I thought that. I have to think about that. I'm not exactly sure, because then I'm always afraid of stumbling into a very namby-pamby kind of unsystematic thing.
Well, we are kind of unsystematic at this point. I feel like there are so many different kinds of feminists and so many different kinds of lesbians. There are lesbians who aren't feminists at all.
Yeah.
And I think that what's happening in the women's movement is that we're like a huge wheel with tons and tons and tons of spokes, and all the spokes are different kinds of women into different kinds of feminism, and I hope that someday we'll all come together in a common place, and I don't think that until we can do that will we ever be able to achieve change in a very broad way, but I think for a while there has to be all those different kinds of women and feminists and lesbians, because it takes a long time for a movement to evolve.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I certainly agree that I also feel very oppressed and very pained when I'm made to understand that my contribution is zilch if I in any way can relate to men, or that I wouldn't take a hard and fast stand against them.
Well, I don't think that's true, and I don't know who's been making you feel that way, but it's, I know, like, so many different women who make contributions in so many different ways, and I don't think that, I think if you're working in any way, and as I say, that includes even in your own life, and to affect the people closest to you, to understand what it is, what our oppression is composed of, and to try to fight it. From that on through full-time political commitment and activity, you're doing a lot.
Yeah. I would like to hear, like, we've both been, I guess, talking necessarily in very broad and abstract terms, and I guess at this point I wouldn't really be able to go into any greater detail, but I'd be interested in hearing a program devoted just to these types of issues, maybe, and...
like a political discussion.
Yeah.
Of different types of feminism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that down for the future. I'm hoping to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, kind of some kind of sense of politically where the movement is at, and, you know, where it could be going.
Right.
And to just hear women come concretely and talk about all these things.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
It's something that really is on my mind a whole lot.
Okay. Listen, I'd love to talk longer, but I think there are a couple more calls and it's getting late.
Yeah, really.
Thank
good.
You very much for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to say I think it's a wonderful thing that we need a person who is a non-rejecting person in general to take the woman's point of view. I think that was this is very timely, and I think there has been a lot of separatism, and this is a very good sign. And I'd like to make a couple of remarks on some of the things that have been said, because I have taken a great interest in the political side of women's role.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've learned, and that seems to be coming up more and more as the world becomes polarized, I guess that's the only way I can say it,
mm-hmm.
Not only between men and women in some cases, but, you know, in general, that people have become polarized in terms of generation gaps and moralities and so on. Well, what I would like to say is, first of all, have you ever come across a book called These Are My Sisters?
No.
Well, I think you'd enjoy it. It was written, it's available, but it was written sometime in the 40s by a woman in a mental institution.
Wow.
And it is wow. You know, I mean, for anybody who and yet it's written in a nonpartisan way.
Do you know the name of the author by any chance?
No, but before I leave the phone, I may be able to have somebody get the book for me. I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
However, I just wanted to make a couple more remarks. One is that the Bible is considered, I know for a fact, because of the history and political point of view, that the Bible is taught in the Jewish sector anyway, as the Old Testament, as an evolutionary book.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was one of the things that that was very wonderful when I first learned that. I mean, I felt much less rebellious about religion and so on. And when I realized that that the cultures and the background, and also that what runs into that is the newer discoveries that I've really come into the political side, which says that as long as mankind, as humankind, has to work under the given conditions of scarcity,
mm-hmm.
and the symbolic part of that was the expulsion from Eden, you know, where both man and woman were put out to work by the sweat of their brow, and symbolically or allegorically, whichever you want to look at it, really means that as scarcity imposes a competitive, an almost fratricidal competition,
mm-hmm.
that until we overcome the ages of scarcity, which we are just about doing in this latter part of the 20th century, that women's role will be secondary, and it's pointed out that one of the reasons is that in scarcity this fratricidal competition takes place, and each time there is a gain, each time there is a leap in the technology, women's role has become a little bit better, meaning that toward the end, when we have developed a technology that can guarantee subsistence, global subsistence, I'm not talking about...
I don't know if I would agree with that, because if we look at America, though, there are many pockets of America where people live in abject poverty, and still a lot of people in it.
Well,
let me just finish.
I mean global subsistence for everybody under a different.
But I know, but what
not just accumulated, but for a few.
Right, but what I was going to say is that in a society of great affluence, which the bulk of America is, we still are an extremely oppressed class.
No, it isn't affluent only for a few. It's affluent. Those who are in control of the resources see to it that the roles of people, various peoples, including women, are subservient, very subservient to the controlling resources, the controlling structure.
Yeah.
And there has never, ever been in the United States any equalitarian distribution. I mean,
that's true.
Yes, and this is the main point. And it was brought out in this political thing that I was going into the political history, that perhaps America does have a possible future greatest role than ever before in the fact that we have the possibility with nuclear, with energy, and I don't want to make it nuclear, I want to say the new forms of energy, which could give the world, for the first time in history, in known history, or even in prehistory, the possibility of having global subsistence for everybody, which would eliminate the kind of fratricidal competition.
It's a very interesting theory.
It puts women, you see, this idea of scarcity hasn't even been touched by women's movement.
I'm going to have to go on out of the next call.
Thank you very much, Liz.
Yeah, I really enjoy your idea, but I think that we should go on to the next call now.
Yes, I do.
Thanks so much for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, what I really like about your program very much is the openness.
Oh, thanks.
Just one moment. Let me turn off my
headphones. Okay. Last call. This will have to be the last call, by the way, folks. Yeah, this is going to be the last call, I'm afraid.
Yes,
just wanted to say that.
I'm going to rush things. There's about three or four suggestions that
okay.
I have. One would be a discussion, not necessarily bringing in experts, but just women in various stages of their life. And that I would like a discussion not only in physiological changes, but energy peaks and creativity and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, the woman living alone, because there's loads.
Yeah, I've been planning a program on that.
Good. In New York City.
Women alone.
But I think that's important.
Okay.
Okay, and the third is intimacy and commitment.
Okay.
Because the more I talk amongst my peers and colleagues, that's becoming a crucial issue.
Okay.
In their lives.
Could you write me and give me a more full explanation of what the shows you'd like? Because it's a little hard to get exactly your ideas, especially on the third one, in this brief a time, and I have two more minutes to go.
Yes. I mean, is it possible to reach you after the program?
Yeah, right. Give me a ring after the show. That would be just great.
Because I have a more specific program.
Okay, fine. Okay. Call right after the show.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Okay, we can't take any more calls because it's almost 11 and I have an announcement to make before we go off the air. I want to thank everyone who called. I really enjoyed it, and I was afraid before doing the show that there wouldn't be enough calls, and that certainly was unfounded. I had 6 or 8 more letters I wanted to read and 2 poems I wanted to read, and I'll do it on other shows. Write me, Irene Yarrow, WBAI, 359 East 62nd Street, New York, New York, 10021, if you didn't get through and if you wanted to and if you have anything to say. Next week, there will be an emergency discussion on daycare. New York State has just published an amendment to its Title 20 Social Service Plan. This amendment can force the children of women seeking employment and women enrolled in 4-year colleges out of city daycare centers, and consequently those women out of school and out of job seeking into welfare centers as applicants and then as welfare recipients instead of as people who are growing and learning and becoming important members of society. Please listen to that show. I'm going to have to close now with, I guess, probably about 30 seconds of Holly Near singing Sister Woman, Sister. Good night.
Sister woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving, and you've forgotten